May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's a difficult gospel passage, and I'll get back to that in a few minutes. You may have noticed that we are back in green in the church. We are in what is called ordinary time in the church year, which lasts a long time. It lasts, except for some feast days, I guess most notably the Feast of All Saints, we'll be in green until Advent. So that's a very long time. We call it ordinary time in the church because it's not one of the major, it's not Advent, it's not Christmas, it's not Epiphany, it's not Lent, it's not Easter, it's not Pentecost, it's after Pentecost. So I just want to point out a couple things about what our lectionary is going to be doing. The next couple months, I think, we will have passages from Genesis. We just sort of got plopped down into the middle of a story, or almost the end of a story, really, in Genesis today. And that will continue. We'll have those Genesis passages for about 2 months, I think. And the same with Romans. We'll be hearing from Paul's letter to the Romans for quite a while. And we're back to the Gospel of Matthew. Just, not going to preach on Genesis or the psalm, but just hearing that painful story about, Sarah telling Abraham and then banishing Hagar and the son to the wilderness just resonated with me because we just got back from an incredible pilgrimage among Native American people. And so there's some similarities in the stories between what happened to the Native American people in our country and this story in Genesis and the psalm. I felt some resonance with that. The gospel passage for today is full of paradoxes. As I understand paradox, it's kind of when two statements seem to be contradictory, but somehow they hold together and there's truth in it. That's how I understand it anyway. And so the passage ended with this paradox. The one who finds their life will lose it, and the one who loses their life for my sake will find it. It's one of the great paradoxes of our faith, that when we let go of what we think we need to hold on to so tightly, we find life in Christ. When we hold on tightly, it's more difficult to find the freedom that Christ wants for us. This passage in Matthew was written in a time when the Christians were already facing persecution, so it might help to read it through that lens. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid of people who can kill you. Be afraid," or I would use the words awe and reverence, which I think are a little easier for us to take. To have a proper fear of God is to have awe and reverence for God. So on the one hand, don't be afraid. On the other hand, do be afraid, Jesus says. On the one hand, God cares for even the sparrow and knows the number of the hairs on our head. And on the other hand, God is also the God who judges. These paradoxes, you can probably think of many from our faith. I just jotted down a few. God is one and God is three. God is, in some sense, unknowable to us. And at the same time, God is known to us through Jesus Christ. God is transcendent, completely other than us. And at the same time, God is immanent. God became one of us. Jesus is human and divine. And another paradox, that the more we know our own inner depths of our own hearts, the more we know God. Joan Chittister, who is Benedictine nun and the head of a convent community, Benedictine community in Erie, Pennsylvania, has written countless books. She writes that God is within us to be realized, not outside of us to be stumbled upon. God is within us to be realized, not outside of us to be stumbled upon. And Benedict, who wrote the Rule of Benedict that governs many monastic communities and also has a lot in common with the Anglican tradition, said, in the spiritual life, up is down and down is up. So all these paradoxes in this gospel passage and in our faith. In the letter to the Romans, Paul talks about baptism as dying and rising with Christ. That's one of the major images of baptism in our tradition. That in baptism, whenever we are baptized, whether it was as an infant or a child or a teenager or an adult, we die to our old identity in some sense, and we are reborn in Christ. We talk about in Christ, in a new identity. Baptism creates a radical change in our identity. But there's another paradox in this, because yes, we're given a new identity in our baptism by God, but it takes our entire lives for us to live into the fullness of what that means. So yes, we have a new identity, and at the same time, we have a lifelong journey to live into our new identity in Christ, to live into our baptism. When I was in the Diocese of Atlanta, they had a curriculum for lay people that was called Living Into Our Baptism, that was written by some of the staff, diocesan staff. So we are called to live into our baptism. There are more difficult things in the gospel passage this morning. Jesus says, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, on the other hand, when Jesus was arrested, he told Peter to put away his sword, not to fight. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. We know Jesus as the Prince of Peace. So what is he talking about here? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And then he goes into the whole thing about families being divided. I think we can make some sense of that if we look again at that paradox that ends this passage. The one who finds their life will lose it, and the one who loses their life for my sake will find it. Because I think it's about priorities, about what comes first in our lives. You know the hymn we sing sometimes, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Allelu, alleluia." So simple, and yet so difficult. Jesus is asking something of us that is very simple and yet very difficult. He's asking us to put God first. No matter what else is important to us in our lives, no matter what else we love, our families, our friends, our homes and possessions, we are to put God first. So Jesus is not saying to us, go divide your family, or go pick a fight with your mother-in-law. He's not saying that. I think what he's saying is the inevitable reality of what sometimes happens when we take our discipleship seriously, we will have opposition in the world around us, and sometimes in our own families. If one person in a family puts God first and the others don't, that can cause some friction. One person may be committed to tithing, another isn't, and you have a conflict. One person committed to giving lots of time to the work of the church, and another isn't in the same family, another potential conflict. It is a great paradox. The more that we can hold our worldly things and even our own selves lightly with open hands, the freer we become in Christ. But the more that we hold on tightly to things, to other people, and to our own selves, the more imprisoned we are. God wants us all to be free, to live in the abundant life that God promises us. And we can seek to live this way with God's help. It is not easy, but it is simple. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen.